I want to begin this morning with a question for those who are parents of little ones or younger ones. And we'll even frame the question for those whose children are no longer with them, that they've grown and are married. But with your experiences in life and where you find yourself at this point in life, would you like to be the one to make the choice as to who your children would marry? Or if your children are already married, do you wish that you had had the choice of who your children married? I suspect the answer for a lot of us would be yes, that we would like to have had that ability to choose for our children who they would marry, because we've had experiences in life and we know what kind of a person is would be good and compatible for them in life, to bring them happiness and to help them on the road to heaven. And so, indeed, we might want to have a part in the choice of who our children would marry, or wish that we had had that choice and that option. But at the same time, we're probably all thankful that our parents didn't have that choice with us, so that they weren't the ones to decide for us. The fact is, we live in a society where we choose for ourselves. Our parents don't choose for us. There are societies still, even today, where the parents make the choice of who it is that their children will marry. I want you to stop and think about that kind of a society. And in a society like that, where the parents make the choice of who their children are going to marry, what are the parents going to be doing in the years prior to that big day? They're going to be preparing their children for that marriage that they are working hard to arrange. But because we live in a society where we don't do that, where parents don't make that choice and arrange for their children's marriages, we find ourselves not preparing our kids for marriage like we should. We find ourselves not doing the kind of things that need to be done to enable them and empower them to make some good and proper choices when they choose who will be their mate. And so we live in a society where more than ever we need to be the kind of parents that would teach our children how to date and how to court and find someone that would be the perfect person for them. And yet we are doing far less than we should in preparing them for that day. Now I want us to turn for a few moments to a passage in the book of Song of Solomon. Song of Solomon chapter 8, and it's in verses 8 through 10. And let's begin just by the reading of these verses, and then we'll come back and look at some things here. Song of Solomon chapter 8, and verses 8 through 10. It says, "We have a little sister, and she hath no breasts. What shall we do for our sister in the day when she shall be spoken for? If she be a wall, we will build upon her a turret of silver. And if she be a door, we will enclose her with boards of cedar. I am a wall, and my breast like the towers thereof. Then was I in his eyes as one that found peace." I don't know if you're familiar with the Song of Solomon, but it is a story about a Shulamite girl who is in love with a shepherd boy. The king wants this Shulamite girl to marry him. And to do so would, of course, be to her advantage in that it would enrich her tremendously in this world. But she was in love with this shepherd boy, and the shepherd boy was in love with her. And so in the end, she does choose to marry the shepherd boy. But now, he said there in verse 8, he says, "What shall we do for our sister in the day when she shall be spoken for?" Here we have the brothers of this young girl. And they are wondering, what are we going to do when it comes time that boys are going to be calling on her, if you will, when they're wanting to court her, to date her? What are we going to do? And he puts out two possibilities here in verse 9. "If she be a wall, we will build upon her a turret of silver." If she be a wall, they would build a turret of silver. In other words, if she shows herself to be responsible and intelligent, a wise person, a person who's able to keep themselves from the encroachments of sin, who's able to resist temptation, that is, if she's a wall, Then we would build her a turret of silver, it said, a turret or a palace of silver. They would grant unto her beauties that she otherwise would not be able to receive. And I think it's referring to their blessings that would be given to her should she be a wall. So the idea is, I think, of a girl who cannot be easily swayed to do wrong, and thus she is given the approval by her brothers as she begins to court the young man who comes calling. But the other option was this: if she be a door, we will enclose her with boards of cedar. If she's someone who is open to every temptation, just suggest something and she's on board, she'll be glad to do it. If she has no restraint at all, she's like an open door, then you're going to have to enclose her with boards to protect her from herself. And these brothers would feel that responsibility to try to protect her from the harm she would bring to herself if she doesn't have the wisdom to act responsibly, if she doesn't conduct herself like a wall. She would need that help to protect herself. And so on the one hand, we have a girl who is responsible and has control of herself. And on the other side, a girl who does not have control of herself, who's willing to do most anything, and the responses that these brothers would feel. We would ask you this morning, parents, are you raising your children to be a wall or a door? Are you raising your children to be a wall or a door? We've got to specifically think in terms of what are we teaching our children and preparing them for those dating years. And are we teaching them to be a wall, or are we teaching them to be a door, open to doing most anything and everything? And if we love our children, we should, of course, strive to cause our children to be a wall. The key to this passage and the key to our lesson this morning is the idea of responsibility, the idea of being responsible and having responsibility. And the Shulamite girl in verse 10 responds, "I am a wall." And so she proclaimed that she was a wall, that she was a responsible girl that would not be one who would easily give in to such temptations. And so in this lesson, we want to focus our attention on responsible courtship. We want to address ourselves to those who are young and still looking to the future, to those years of courtship and marriage, or to those parents who are here whose children are still quite young, and consider some things that might be helpful to you in making sure that your children, boy or girl, are raised in such a way that they will be a wall when it comes time to engage in that courting process. If they show themselves to be a wall, then indeed, as these brothers said there in verse 9, you'll be able to build a turret of silver. You'll be able to build that turret of silver of the blessing that you can give to them in that process. But let's look at four different things this morning that we need to show, that such a person needs to show themselves responsible. First of all, we need responsible participants for there to be responsible courtship to take place. Are they really ready for it? Are both of them old enough and responsible enough to be dating one another, courting one another with the idea of marriage in the end? You remember over in Ephesians chapter 6, the Apostle Paul made this comment. He said, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth." So children, he says, are to obey their parents, they're to show honor to their mother and father. And so we ought to be concerned about whether or not this young man or woman are showing themselves to be responsible people. Both parties. Are they showing themselves to be responsible in that they obey their mother and father? Do they show honor to mother and father, as Paul spoke about there? Are they showing themselves to be a responsible person in that relationship? Remember the people of Israel over in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And we're not going to take the time to read all of that. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 in the first 13 verses, it talks about the people of Israel. and how they did not love and respect God like they should have. And ultimately, as a result of their unfaithfulness, of their lack of willingness to obey God, God gave them up. And we ought to make sure that we're not going to be like Israel, that we're going to be the kind of people that are responsible enough to obey our parents, show honor and love and respect to our parents, and show love and honor and respect and obedience, of course, even to our Lord. If they aren't grown up enough to show respect for their parents by obeying them, to show love and respect to the Lord in obeying Him, then they're not responsible enough to be courting. They're not responsible enough to be dating and looking for someone to be their mate. And so, parents, we have a responsibility to try to teach our children to be responsible people and participants, ultimately, in this thing called courting. But I'm convinced that there are a lot of people out there who have no business at all being involved in dating other people because they are not showing themselves to be responsible. In some situations, it may well be that the parents didn't exercise enough control. There's an example in the Old Testament, and we don't want to dwell on this too much, but over in 2 Samuel 13, there's the story of a man by the name of Amnon, and he had a sister by the name of Tamar. And I don't know if you remember the story or not, but here in 2 Samuel chapter 13, in verses 3 through 5, the friend of Amnon, Jonadab, you know, ask him, you know, what's bothering him? And he tells that he has fallen in love with his sister Tamar. And he wants to have her. And Jonadab tells him how he can go about doing that by faking sickness and then asking his father to have Tamar to come and to take care of him. And so he does. He follows that advice. And when he is alone with her, he forces himself on her and does indeed rape her. Down in verse 15 of 2 Samuel 13, says, "Then Amnon hated her with exceeding great hatred, for the hatred wherewith he hated her was greater than the love wherewith he had loved her. And Amnon said unto her, Arise and be gone." And so Amnon ended up hating her more than he thought he loved her. In fornication, sometimes a girl will ask, you know, "Will you love me in the morning, or will you respect me, you know, tomorrow?" And most likely not. Amnon didn't. And we need to understand if that's the kind of a person that you're dating, then they're not going to love you tomorrow, if you will. They're not responsible person to be involved in that relationship. A little bit later there in 2 Samuel 13, verses 28 and 29, says, "And Absalom commanded his servants, saying, Mark ye now, when Amnon's heart is merry with wine, and when I say unto you, smite Amnon, then kill him. Fear not, have not I commanded you? Be courageous and be valiant." And the servants of Absalom did as Amnon did unto Amnon as Absalom had commanded. Then all the king's sons arose, and every man gat him upon his mule and fled. They killed Amnon for what they had done to their sister. They killed their brother for what he had done to their sister Tamar. But Amnon's a perfect example of a person who has no business dating, a person who has no business trying to court someone else. And we need to have our eyes open and try to teach our children that they're not going to be like Amnon in any respect. Try to teach our children to not date someone who would fall into that category as well. We need responsible participants here. Even if our children are of proper age and maturity, remember that story of Amnon and Tamar. Perhaps good advice, would be to teach our children that when they start those dating years, you know, they don't close the door behind themselves with her or with him. They don't put themselves in a room close the door where things might happen. And you may be convinced things are not going to happen. Well, they certainly won't if the door is left open. And if you feel the door must be closed, that's when it should definitely stay open. But we need to be careful to raise our children so they'll be responsible participants when it comes time today. If they don't show themselves to be responsible, then we should do everything we can to stop that process until they can be properly trained. But something else here, they need to have a responsible value system. We need to teach our children to choose someone to date, to court, who show themselves to have a responsible system of values. And often asked question is whether a Christian should marry a non-Christian. Whether a Christian can marry someone who's not a Christian. And we talked about that in brief last week. But certainly 1 Corinthians chapter 7 shows that it is not wrong for a Christian to be married to an unbeliever. As much as we would like to go and point you to passage of Scripture that says that it's wrong, I can't do that. As we suggested last week, it's not a very wise thing to do for a Christian to marry an unbeliever because of the hindrances that are going to be caused to you and your service to the Lord. But there's not anything wrong, actually, in doing that. However, don't date someone who doesn't share your values. Don't date someone and court and go through the process of trying to find a mate. And that's what dating is all about. Don't do that with someone who doesn't share your values, who doesn't share with you the respect and love that you have for God, for example. We need to find someone who shares our values, who has a sense of self-control, recognizes the need for self-control in their manner of living. Over in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 2. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and in verse 22, Paul gave this young preacher Timothy some good advice. 2 Timothy 2 and in verse 22, he said, "But flee youthful lusts and follow after righteousness, faith, love, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart." He said to flee youthful lust. And that's what we need to teach our children. To flee from youthful lust. To follow after righteousness, faith, love, peace. We need to teach them these values so that when it comes time for them to date and to choose a mate, that they are going to be dating someone who is of like values as what they have. Find someone who's going to be an example to you of what Christianity is about. Someone who can help you in your path toward heaven. And not someone who's going to be a hindrance and perhaps even lead you away. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and in verse 12, Paul said again to Timothy, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an ensample to them that believe in word and manner of life, in love, in faith, in purity." You're to be an example to others, young people. We need to teach our young people to be examples to others of what is right, of what a Christian life is supposed to be. And you want to date someone who shares those values. You remember over in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 33, Paul said, "Be not deceived, evil companionships corrupt good morals." We talked last week. We shared those statistics about Christians marrying unbelievers. And in the overwhelming majority of those cases, it is the believer who's led away from the Lord rather than the other direction in converting the unbeliever. If you want to go to heaven in the end, you better find someone who shares your values. And indeed, that might well be someone who is a Christian. But if you date someone whose values are not based on God's word, then the likelihood is that you are going to be the one corrupted rather than your good to rub off, if you will, on them. The value systems that we see in place in the lives of so many people today is about as bad as maybe in any time. And atheism and the idea that there is no God, it's permeating our society. And it's affecting what our children are taught in the schools. It's having an impact on us all around. And it's having an impact in the home and in the family as well. Because children are not being taught about the kind of values they should have, and to try to date and marry someone who shares those values. I encourage you as a young person to decide to flee fornication, 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 18. To flee youthful lust, as Paul said in 2 Timothy 2:22 that we saw earlier. To abstain from fornication, as Paul said, 1 Thessalonians 4 and in verse 3. Because it is a part of your own convictions. Flee those things because it is a part of your own convictions to God. A lot of boys, and indeed a lot of girls, seem to be concerned only with the physical appearance of the person that they're dating. She's pretty, or he's handsome. And they're taken with physical appearance rather than the kind of a person that they are. We need to consider a whole lot more than just their outward looks. Again, we need to consider their values. The question ought to be asked, will this boy or girl help me to get to heaven? And if they're obviously not the kind of person that's going to help you to get to heaven, then that's not the kind of person you want to date. And I would even suggest it's not the kind of person you would want to go on the very first date with. Because again, they're going to have an influence on you more than you will on them, the statistics show. And so you need to be willing to forego dating people that might attract you, if in fact their values are such that they would ultimately lead you away from the Lord. You've got to make sure that you're dating someone whose value system is what it needs to be. Be responsible and date someone with that responsible value system. There needs to be responsible conduct going on as well. Again, 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 18. Flee fornication, Paul said. He said, every sin a man, that a man may or that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. He said, don't just recognize fornication. Don't just recognize that it's a possibility. He said to flee it, to run from it. Don't put yourself into a situation where fornication could even enter into the mind of either one of you. Again, don't shut that door. You should do your dating and courting in some public fashion. Instead of finding someone to date and being tempted to find some dark place somewhere that you can be alone and do things, push the envelope as much as you want, and finding yourself going beyond what you know is right, you need to date someone who's going to be responsible in their conduct from the very beginning. You know, over in Galatians chapter 6 and in verse 1, Paul makes a comment to those brethren there and makes this to you and I as well. Galatians 6 and verse 1, he said, brethren, even if a man be overtaken in any trespass, ye who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, looking to thyself, lest thou also be tempted. We've got to be careful out there. We've got to be careful in our conduct with other people, and even in trying to bring a sinner to repentance, he says, be careful lest you also find yourself tempted. And you've got to be careful in your dating. You've got to be careful who you date. Make sure it's going to be someone who is responsible in every way, that you can trust to be responsible in their conduct, and not going to be someone who's going to cause you to be led away, cause you to be tempted to go beyond what you know is right. You need to be dating someone who's even responsible in their everyday conduct. You remember Romans chapter 13 talks about our responsibility to civil government. We studied it not long ago in our Wednesday evening study, the book of Romans. Romans chapter 13 and in the first 7 verses, Paul makes it clear that we have a responsibility to obey the laws of the land. Is this person you're contemplating dating as an interview process for marriage? Are you going to date someone who is irresponsible when it comes to the laws of the land, who thinks nothing of violating the laws of the land, whether it's in the use of drugs that they should not use, or doing things of various sorts as pranks or what have you that though might be wrong and illegal? We need to understand that if that's the kind of person they are, they're not going to get better. The second law of thermodynamics is that things tend to deteriorate. And that happens with people too. And so if you're starting out dating someone who's not responsible in their conduct, in their everyday life, and in their relationship with you, then that's not a good sign for the future. Find someone who is a responsible person, who has responsible values, who will conduct themselves responsibly in all their activities with you. But one other point that I wanted us to make this morning, and that is there needs to be a responsible end. And that is indeed in marriage. Recognize that dating is to prepare the two for spending their life together. That's the whole point of dating and courting one another. The young man is looking to leave his father and his mother, to cleave to his wife, to form his own house, his own home with his wife. That's what he's looking for. And that needs to be kept in mind. In Genesis chapter 2 and in verse 24, you remember, "Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." And so we need to remember that while we are dating, that this is the end of what we're looking to do here. We're not just looking to have fun. When you are courting someone, you are looking for someone to possibly be your mate for life. And both need to understand that. We need to be asking ourselves, would I be willing to marry this girl? Or would I be willing to marry this boy? And you may not know the first date or two or three or a dozen. But that's what the whole point of the dating process, the courting, is all about, is to find out, is this the right kind of person for me as a child of God to marry? Are they going to be the kind of person that will help me in my service to the Lord? God recognizes that there are going to be boy-girl relationships, but when the two begin to point toward sexual activity, He said that that's only to be done within marriage. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 again, as we noted it last week, in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and in verses 1 and 2, he says, "Now concerning the things whereof ye wrote, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. But because of fornications, let each man have his own wife, and let each woman have her own husband." And so he tells us to avoid fornication, that we're to get married. That's where those kind of activities are to take place, within the marriage relationship. They should marry, and then they should not depart, as he goes on to say there in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 10 and 11. He tells you, don't depart. You're bound to that mate for as long as you live, and thus you are bound to them and not to depart for any reason. That one exception that Jesus gave in Matthew 19:9, the only exception. But marriage is intended for life. And we need to make sure that we enter into this dating process responsibly, show ourselves to be responsible people with responsible values and conducting ourselves responsibly. And when it comes that time, it needs to be ended with marriage, having decided that we desire to go beyond just that dating process. So we've got to show ourselves to be responsible in every aspect of the courtship. And that's our point. And I hope that those who are here this morning who are still young and involved in dating or will be in coming years, I hope maybe our thoughts this morning will be helpful, will be encouraging to you to approach it properly so that the proper outcome can result from it. And after having indeed found that person who will be your mate for life, that you will marry them, that you will indeed have a happy marriage as a result of the responsible way in which you and your partner went about the courting process. As was mentioned by Gerald earlier, and as we mentioned in the bulletin, I'll not be here next Lord's Day morning. John and Gerald will be presenting the lessons. I'm not sure what they'll preach about. They're welcome to preach on some aspect of the family. But you know that in a couple of weeks we're going to come back to the series. And at that time we'll be talking about the role of the man in the home. And then the next week the role of the woman in the home. And so we'll be looking at the roles of each person in the relationship. And I hope you'll be here for those lessons. And again, we are continuing to post these audios on my website. And I have that address in the bulletin today as well. But I hope that you'll think seriously about the marriage, about the relationship of the home. and do what you need to do to make sure that it is like it needs to be. I hope you'll also think about another marriage relationship, and that is the marriage to Jesus Christ. If you're not a child of God, then you need to be married even this morning. Enter into a marriage relationship with Christ. The church is the bride of Christ. And by becoming a child of God, we are added by the Lord to His church, and we become a part of the bride of the Lamb. And so if you'd become a part of the bride of the Lamb this morning, if you'd become a Christian and become married to Christ, we'd like to encourage you to do that. If you've been doing that and you've not been a faithful spouse, you've not been living like you should, we want to encourage you to make those things right. Get back on the proper relationship with the Lord once again. So if you need to respond in any way this morning, we are asking you to come while together we're standing and singing.